thank you very much, first of all, for your very kind welcome. It's always a joy to come down to Horsham and to share with you the good news of the Lord Jesus and the message of salvation. I wonder if you have a Bible, whether you can turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, to put it in the context, in John chapter 19, the Lord Jesus has been crucified. He's been crucified quite inhumanely, and he was nailed to a Roman cross. He died and was buried, and in chapter 20, at the start of the chapter, the Lord Jesus rose again. I want to break in at chapter 20 and verse 19. The disciples were scared and they had gathered together in a room which was shut because of the fear of them being arrested and being the next in line. So we'll break in at chapter 20 and verse 19. The same day as the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." And I'm sure the Lord would add a blessing to that portion from his Holy Scriptures. Can we take time to pray? Father, we thank thee for the reading of thy word. Our Father, we know that thy word is truth, and so help us, our Father, as we consider these things, to realise, our God, that it's thy word that we're talking about. Our Father, so holy, so important. And our Father, we pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive that which thou would have us to say. Thou knowest, our Father, that has worked perhaps in mysterious ways, and maybe, our Father, a line of the hymn, maybe, our Father, thy word speaking to us, maybe, our Father, if it please thee, something that the speaker would say. But we would pray, our Father, that above all, that the Lord Jesus might be made known to us as the only Son of God, as the Saviour of the world. And we pray, our Father, that we might, like the disciples in that upper room, as it were, meet the Lord Jesus even tonight. And we pray, our Father, we might not be like Thomas, but we might be like the disciples who believed. And our Father, we might be blessed that having not seen, we have believed. And we do pray, our Father, for each and every one here. And ask our God that thou will touch our hearts and speak to us, we do pray. Our Father, we are all before thee with a certain measure of need. Our Father, thou knowest our circumstances. And we do pray, our God, that thou would speak to our hearts in our need. And ask our God we might be blessed. But above all, that we might all know that we're saved. And we might all know that we're bound for heaven. Bound for our Father, for the glory of heaven. To see him and to be with him forever. So we give thee thanks, our Father, for this time together. We do pray for thy blessing. In the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to speak to you, if I may, about Thomas. Thomas the Doubting Thomas. That's what we call him, isn't it? Doubting Thomas. He was one of the 12 disciples. We know that about him. And as you read through the Bible, you'll find Thomas, outside the lists of the disciples' name, you'll find Thomas in just 4 places in the Bible. All in the Gospel of John. You'll find him in John chapter 11. You'll find him mentioned in John chapter 14. You'll find him mentioned here that we read in John chapter 20. And you'll find him also in John and chapter 21. All in the Gospel of John, we read about Thomas. And we know he was one of the disciples, so he must have gone around and would have seen the Lord Jesus and heard his words and known all about him. He would be living and breathing with him. And everywhere the Lord Jesus went, Thomas would be there, tagging along. But as you look at the passages where we have mentioned him, in John chapter 11, you'll find him in verse number 16. But just for context, John chapter 11 is a story of Lazarus. Lazarus was sick and he died, and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent a message to the Lord Jesus saying to come quickly because Lazarus is sick. They wanted the Lord Jesus to come and cure him. But they lived in Bethany, and Bethany was in Judea. The Lord Jesus, when he was last in Judea, they tried to kill him. And they had this message to go back down to Bethany in Judea to tend to Lazarus. Now, the Lord Jesus, he waited a couple of days and then he decided, we're going to go. We're going to go to Bethany to see Martha and Mary and to Lazarus. And Thomas and many of the other disciples, they were worried. The Jews in Judea had just tried to kill him, stone him. That was in the previous chapter. And they said, surely you're not going back to Judea, you'll get killed. And the Lord Jesus, he says in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. And in verse 15, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Let us go. And Thomas, it says in verse 16, who is called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Thomas thought that if they're going back to Judea, that they were going to get killed. So he comes across as rather morose, a fatalistic type of guy. You know, these bad things are always going to happen to us. And he didn't want to go, and he showed out something of his faithlessness. And they went, and of course the Lord Jesus wasn't killed, and in fact he did that wonderful miracle of rising Lazarus from the dead. And I'm sure you all know the story. So, but Thomas doesn't come out over very well. Doesn't come over. If you turn to chapter 14, you'll find Thomas a second time. In verse 5 this time. And chapter 14 is the words of the Lord Jesus just hours before he was betrayed and just the night before he was crucified and killed. And he'd gathered together, his disciples together in the upper room there, and he wanted to give them words of comfort and words of strength so that they might be ready for the trial that they would have to undergo when the Lord Jesus was taken and crucified. And the Lord Jesus says these wonderful words that are a thrill to the heart of all who believe. In verse 1 he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there may be you also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas, who is rather earthbound, he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Which is fairly, it's like pouring cold water, isn't it, over what was said. And again, he comes across as rather earthbound, rather sad and faithless. And then in chapter 20, again, you see that Thomas comes on the page, and he comes across as one who will not believe. So that's Thomas. Thomas is perhaps a very dark character, perhaps a little bit morose, perhaps a bit fatalistic, certainly unbelieving. But he's one of the 12. Now I want you to think, the Lord Jesus has just appeared to these 10 disciples on that first resurrection day. And it says the disciples were glad, they were full of joy. And they come to Thomas and they express their joy to Thomas. And they said, Christ is alive. Jesus has been risen from the grave. And they're full of joy. They're full of joy. And Thomas says, unless I see the nails in the hands and the wound in the side, I will not believe. What a sad character. What a sad character that Thomas is. And I was just thinking about those words that he said. I will not believe. And Thomas, he's definite about it. You know, we call him Doubting Thomas. But actually, he knows exactly what he believes. I will not believe, he says. I will not believe. And just step back. Thomas was there at the graveside of Lazarus, wasn't he? We've just read in John chapter 11. He was there at the graveside of Lazarus. And he would have seen the stone that was in front of the tomb of Lazarus rolled away. And the words of the Lord Jesus saying, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. What a mighty miracle that was. Thomas was there. Thomas was watching. He was there and he saw with his own eyes the works of a mighty man. So how can Thomas have any doubts when Jesus is there in the tomb? And he's raised from the dead. He's already seen it with Lazarus. And yet he says, I will not believe. And then think again. He's seen the works of the Lord Jesus, the mighty works of the Lord Jesus. And think again of the words that he heard in the upper room in John chapter 14. He heard the Lord Jesus say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. The Lord Jesus knew that he was going out to Calvary, going out to die on the cross, and would die, and would be buried, and would rise again the third day, and he would come again. And Thomas heard that. We know Thomas heard that because he said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Thomas heard the wonderful words of Christ. Just come again. He saw the wonderful works of Christ that was even able to raise the dead. And he was able to hear the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus and the wonderful comfort it could give those who believe. And yet in spite of all that, what was the words of Thomas? I will not believe. How can Thomas say those things, having seen these things, having heard those words? Oh, you know, when you look through the Bible, there's a verse in Hebrews, and it talks about the hardness of a man's heart. It talks about the evil heart of unbelief. And there's a heart in Thomas, and he said, I will not believe. You know, Thomas would have heard the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus knew where he was going. The Lord Jesus knew what would happen. Just think of these words in Mark chapter 10. And this was before the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem. He was on his way. And it says in verse 32, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem. And in verse 33, the Lord Jesus says this. He says, "But behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again." Now I can tell you today, earlier on today, I can tell you where I'm going. I'm going to Horsham, if the Lord will and if the M25 allows. I'm going to Horsham. And I can hopefully say that when I get to Horsham, they won't kill me or anything like that. I hope they'll treat me well. But sometimes, is that all right? You won't? Good. But the Lord Jesus, he knows the heart of men, and he knows that he's on his way to Jerusalem. And he knows what's going to happen. He knows he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows what's going to happen. They're going to take him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And maybe we could understand that that was foreseeable. Now, it was obviously he's going to Jerusalem. He was on the road that goes to Jerusalem. So that was fairly easy to foretell. And it was probably easy to foretell that they'll get angry with him and arrest him and beat him. And it may well be possible for us to foretell that he was going to die. But I'll tell you one thing that would never be spoken by the lips of any man. And that was those last four words. Or six words, seven words. "And the third day he will rise again." Now just think on that. That someone would say those words. Just think on that. How could anyone say those words? "The third day rise again from the..." How could he? Unless he was the Son of God. Unless he had power over death and hell. Yeah? And so Thomas would have heard these words. Because Thomas would be following on. So there was no excuse for Thomas. Maybe there was an excuse for us today who are 2,000 years after the event. But Thomas was there at the time. And he was listening to the words. And he heard the promise of Christ there on that road to Jerusalem, that he would rise again. So the Lord Jesus had presented his credentials. He had shown Thomas his power. He had spoken to Thomas his wisdom. And he had foretold what would happen when he goes to Jerusalem. And yet still, Thomas would say, the day of his resurrection, "I will not believe." Now, let me take this down to today. You know the stories of Jesus, do you not? How he walked on water, how he fed 5,000 people with two loaves. Or was it five loaves? That's right, absolutely. Yeah, he did these wonderful things. He changed the water into wine. He opened the eyes of the blind. He raised the dead. Tell me, I can't do those things. Can you? But he could, because he is the Son of God. Because he's the man from heaven. He's the one who came out from heaven and was born in Bethlehem. And he was the Son of God. He was God's only begotten Son. And the words he spake, wonderful words he spake. You know, we enjoy them even today. And you know the wonderful parables he spoke. You know the words of comfort that we've already considered. You know, they talk about the gracious words that fell from his lips. Yeah, there in the synagogue of Nazareth. The people there, they were astonished at the words that he spoke. Because this one is the Son of God. He's the very author of this Bible which we revere. And Thomas would have heard. But what about you? Don't be like Thomas. Thomas had the clear demonstration of who he was. Yet his response was, "I will not believe." What about you? Now, it was an awful thing to say, what Thomas said. Because I've already alluded that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12 that the heart of unbelief is an evil heart of unbelief. It's something that God does not like. Now, if we want to come to God, we must believe that He is. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. We must believe. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God is looking down upon us. And He's looking at our heart. He's not looking at our mind. He's not looking at our intellect. He's not looking at our clothes, how good we are. He's not looking at our actions. He's looking at our heart. And it's not a matter of how clever or how rich or how good or how bad or anything like that. He's looking at our heart. And what He's looking for is a heart of faith. And that was Thomas. He said, I will not believe. Now I think the Lord Jesus would have known about Thomas before He chose him. And yet He still chose him. Oh, we can think about that, the graciousness of the Lord Jesus. You know, He had 12 men. And if you look at those 12 men, what a motley crew, really. What a motley crew. You know, with Judas Iscariot, we have Peter who denied them. We have James and John who argued about who was going to be the greatest. We have Thomas who was faithless and doubting. That's hope for me because I'm not very good either. I stand up here with my preacher's clothes on, but I'm no better than you. And when I see that the Lord Jesus would choose for His disciples the likes of these people, it gives hope for me that He would love me. I'm sure He loves me. I know He loves me. But there's a heart of unbelief, and if God looks down upon your heart and He sees a heart of unbelief, oh dear. Now let me read some words in John chapter 3, which are very somber. And I have to read these with heavy heart. Verse 18. Because John chapter 3 and verse 18 says this: He who believes in Him, the Lord Jesus, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. How sad. And if you look at the very last verse of that chapter, John chapter 3 and verse 36, it says a similar thing. It says, Who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he that believes does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So God wants to see in my heart and your heart faith. Faith. That's it. Will you trust Him? Now, when I look at Thomas and his actions, he said, I want to see the prints of the nails. I want to see the wound in the side. Can I tell you that one thing that Thomas did believe was that Jesus had died on the cross. He was absolutely certain, I would hazard a guess, that he saw it. Maybe on the edge of the crowd. He saw the Lord Jesus being crucified and he knew that Jesus was dead. You know, we live in a skeptical day, and I've heard it say on TV, as if it was fact, that when Jesus was on the cross, he fainted. And then in the coolness of the tomb, he revived and somehow exited from the tomb and was found over in India. Now, I've heard it on, I've seen a TV program which kind of presented that as fact. Now, if you speak to Thomas, he would have laughed at you. He said, no, the Lord Jesus, he died on the cross. I saw it with my own eyes. And he was convinced about the nail prints and the wound in the side. He would know that out of everything, he might not believe that Lord Jesus had resurrected, but he knew that Christ was dead. There at the cross. And yet he's alive. You know, this is one of the foundation stones of Christianity, that Christ died, was buried, and the third day rose again. You know, that gives me my hope that death is vanquished. That gives me my hope that the work that the Lord Jesus did on the cross is a finished work, a completed work, a victorious work. What did he do there at the cross? I tell you, when he was on the cross, he dealt with my sin. He dealt with all my failure. He dealt with all my shortcomings. He dealt with my weakness. There on the cross, he took my sin. You know, we say so very often and so very easily that Christ died for my sins. Easy to say, but it's true. He died for my sins. And if I would only believe that my sins are dealt with there on the cross, I'm free. I'm forgiven. I've got joy. I have no fear of God, of meeting Him. I have no fear of death because He's given me everlasting life. I have rest in my heart. I have peace with God. Tell me, that's the work that the Lord Jesus has done there at the cross. He's done it for me. He's done it for you as well. And Thomas knew that Christ died. And I praise the Lord that He died. Because if He hadn't have died, my sins would not be forgiven. And Thomas knew that He died. And He died there at the cross in agony and pain. But He died there for me, that my sins might be forgiven. Thomas knew that. But he would not believe that He was resurrected. If Christ died and He didn't rise again, then that means my sins have defeated Him. That means that the price He paid wasn't good enough. But you know, Christ died and was resurrected. It's so important. Because we believe in a living Christ, a living Saviour, one who is waiting for our call. If you would just, what? Believe. Just believe. You know, the Lord Jesus there at the cross, He accomplished so much. He accomplished as much as is possible to be accomplished. And all He wants from us is faith. Real faith now. Not just academic faith. Not just a faith which brings you along on Sunday evening and say, that's my bit. But a life-changing faith. A faith that means your whole life is cast over to Him. And when Thomas says, I will not believe. Oh, what tragedy that is. There is no faith there. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you've got a dead faith. But the fact of an empty tomb, the fact of that empty tomb is joy to my heart. Because Christ is alive. Yeah? Christ is alive. And there was Thomas. He was saying, I will not believe. And he discounted the words of the Lord Jesus. He discounted the works of the Lord Jesus. He discounted the promises of the Lord Jesus. And you know something? He discounted the testimony of his own friends. You know, there they were, and they had joy in their heart because they'd seen Christ. And He was alive. And it says, then were the disciples glad. They had joy in their heart. And yet, to Thomas, it was nothing. You know, there are folk here, and they have joy in their heart because they are saved, because they are Christ, because they know that they're going to see Him one day. Don't discount that testimony either. And Thomas was there. He said, I will not believe. And do you understand how serious those words were now? How sad those words were? How tragic those words were? But you know, the Lord Jesus, He had a heart for Thomas. He had a heart for Thomas. And He was there the next week, wasn't He? 8 days later, there they were again, the same room. But this time Thomas was with them. And the Lord Jesus was there. Peace be to you. And He turns to Thomas. And He says, reach, here is my hand. Reach your fingers here and look at my hands. And so on. How did the Lord Jesus know that? Because He knows all about us, doesn't He? He knows all about us. He knows our thoughts. He knows what we say. He knows what we do. He's going to be the judge of this world. He's going to be our judge. So there's a good reason for us to see Him as our Saviour rather than as our judge. And the opportunity is today. The opportunity is now. Go out of those doors and the things of this world will crowd in and all the things that you're thinking about will crowd back. And the opportunity will be lost. So the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Yeah. And Thomas, he turned, and you know, he never put those fingers in his side. He never put the fist in his side or the finger in the palm. He just collapsed on his knees and he said, "My Lord and my God," and he worshipped. And he worshipped. And the Lord Jesus had to say, Thomas, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who have not seen and but have yet believed. Is that you? Is that you? Do you know the blessedness of knowing Christ as your Saviour? The joy of sins forgiven? Do you know Him? You know, we sing that old chorus, wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross He was wounded for me. I wonder, do you know Him? Has He changed your life? Does it give you joy as you realise that He was there on the cross for you? And does it give you joy knowing that tomb is empty? Don't be like Thomas saying, I will not believe. Don't be like Thomas, but be like Thomas at the end, where he would say, my Lord and my God. May that be the portion of your heart, your heart's cry as well. Father, we give you thanks in this time together. We pray, our God, that we might not never be like Thomas, who doubted and was faithless. We do pray, our Father, we might have our eyes opened, if they're not open already, to see the wonders of the Lord Jesus, to see our Father that he is indeed thy lovely Son, came from heaven to die on a cross to save us from our sins. Help us, our Father, and speak to our hearts, and help us, our Father, to realise that he indeed is the Saviour of the world. He indeed should be our Saviour. So, our Father, we pray that as we part now, that thou would bless us each and every one. We thank thee, our Father, for refreshments that have been provided, and ask our God for thy blessing as we part. We ask these things in and through the worthy and most precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.